I love it when we have, when you go on Instagram and you see these girls and 80% of their pictures are their butt, you know?
Yeah.
But then in their bio, they're like, it's like
Philippians 9.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, what?
You're like, dude, please take that down.
God is my man.
Please don't associate yourself.
But you're posting pictures of your booty all over the place.
It's so awesome.
You're really good at twerking.
Don't discourage
John 9/11.
Please don't discourage those ladies from doing that. Don't discourage them.
Hey, this month,
God loves booties too.
We are offering Maps Anywhere.
Well, we made them.
50% off. That's our Maps program that has no equipment required. You can do this at home. You can do it at the park. You do it on the road. Maps Anywhere, 50% off, or you can get it for free if you enroll in our RGB bundle, which is 9 months of exercise programming.
Yes.
Holy cow.
Mindpumpmedia.com.
Completely have you covered.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Adam, I want to hear about the supercomputer from the
supercomputer. I can't believe you didn't see him. There's a guy over in there now. I almost want us to not record right now, and I want to show you guys because I don't even know what he's doing. Like, so he has this. He has a big laptop. First of all, it's on this like.
Is it like Watson?
What, the laptop?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I mean like some like artificial intelligence computer.
Oh, I don't know. It looks like this. So it's he has it and it's sitting on like this 2-inch like blue, like this like shiny blue platform thing. And the computers, he's got graphics all over.
This is at the coffee shop?
Yeah, right now. And he's got on the back of his laptop. So I'm like, Justin's on it, right? I'm seeing the back of the laptop. He's got two terabyte drives. What do you call those? External drives.
Yeah, external.
Yeah, he has two external drives mounted to it with fucking boom wires running into his computer from there. He's got like a extension cord that's like yellow and blue that's like super thick.
Maybe he's like one of those anonymous hackers
that plugs into his computer.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, what the fuck's he doing?
Oh, man. It's like super. I've never seen anybody ever like this.
Did you look at the screen? See what he was doing?
I was so. I've
got. You look at the screen.
It's all the Matrix.
It's, like no, it's porn. Yeah. Like, ah,
like, wow, you need all this gear?
Damn it.
He's doing something serious over there. I wanted to ask him so bad, but I felt like it would be a stupid question. Like, what do I ask him?
He's like,
what are you doing? Like,
NSA.
None of your business, bro.
Yeah. Yeah. Why all the horsepower? There's a lot of weirdos around this area. Have you guys noticed that?
Yeah, you think it's the area? Yeah. I think coffee shops just in general.
No,
well,
I think it's
close
the area.
To downtown. That's why.
You think so? Because there's the homeless guy that sleeps in front of the church.
Yeah.
And he's like a staple around here. I see him every single day. You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's like a staple around here. There's another woman who yesterday you almost ran into her on the way home. When you were driving, she was crossing the street.
Oh, I saw her.
I see her every day.
And she just kind of like hangs out in the middle of the road.
La,
like,
la, la.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to cross now or later.
Yeah, really?
And like, cars are like something. Stopping and waiting for her. And then she.
And then there's this old woman, this older woman that I've seen probably maybe three, four times.
Hit her.
And you, well, you know what I mean. You like.
I saw. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I don't. I mean,
I waited for her. I actually waited for her because she was.
What
like,
I mean is, you wanted to run her over. I could tell.
It's not true.
Adam
I get totally see
inches.
It.
10 points if you can leave her shoes off.
Yeah. Just a little brush back.
Then there's this other older lady that I've seen her like three times, and she wears a. I don't know if she'll. I haven't seen her lately. Maybe because it's cold. But she'll wear like a really loose tank top, no bra. But she's super old. Have you seen her?
Uh huh.
Oh.
Yeah, letting them titties hang.
Bro, bad.
No, I haven't seen her.
But it's bad, though. They're
sounds
like
it's a good thing I haven't.
They're like, they come out the bottom of the
bananas.
Shirt.
Bananas.
Yeah. It's horrible.
Do you think that's a real picture?
Up there?
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow. I bet that would be just a beautiful sight in person.
What, the field?
It's just a field, dude.
It's a cornfield right next to like these. Oh, look at how yellow those flowers are and for how long. You know how epic that would look in person?
I don't know. Mm. I like the turtle better. That just came up.
Yeah.
This is a good screensaver we have on the television.
It comes with the TV.
We're so distracted.
Really? It does.
What?
Can we
squirrel?
Can we personalize it?
I'm sure we can. But you know, I mean, the definitely you and I are not very tech savvy.
Mm-hmm. Why you gotta throw me in that shit with you?
Because I actually think you're worse.
He
than
needs
me.
An amigo.
Yeah, but
I didn't think I could find somebody that is so much like me until I met you. I'm like, God, I hate this fucker.
Yeah,
he's just like me.
Yeah, but you like me so much.
It's like good and it's horrible.
It is.
Same time.
It's a love hate thing. Totally. It's like I
that's like why it, I feel like I'm always just getting like
hounded, you know, by all this like charisma and shit hitting me in the head all the time. It's like, fucking calm down.
Let's double yeah, charisma his face.
It's just like, it's all this charisma.
Justin's getting slapping by charisma.
Me. Yeah. Like constantly just, oh God, I don't know if I can handle
we're
anymore.
Gonna, we're going to spray our charisma all over you.
I think sometimes I'm bring a rain jacket.
Sometimes I want to get really mad at Sal and I'm like, fuck, I would totally do the same thing. I can't get mad at him.
Yeah, exactly.
It just irritates me more.
But if you get mad at him, it's like you're getting mad at yourself.
I feel like it gives you opportunities to like talk shit about me. Like you come in and you're like, oh, Sal, fuck, I hate it when we're both so stupid. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, you're actually dumber than I am.
He wraps you
but
up,
we're both, yeah. He does it in a way that I'm like, well, did he just insult me? I don't know.
Wait a minute.
Like, we're both tech stupid, right, Sal? None of us know tech. I'm like, wait, hold on.
God, we're such morons.
Yeah. There is an art to insulting people, too, I guess.
I'll do the opposite. I'll be like, hey, Adam. It's crazy how we're both so handsome. You know what I mean? Yeah. Kind of mix it in there.
You try to build us
up. It didn't work as well, though.
I got to humble us.
And I have to take you guys down.
I got to humble us every once in a while. That's what it is.
So I've been seeing a lot of people, and I think it's some verbiage. And I don't know. Maybe we're the first ones to kind of use it, but I see people talking about what they do before their workouts and referring it to.
Oh, can I sidetrack you before you get into that?
Yeah, do it.
You sent shared an article. Actually, you didn't. Hayden did on our Facebook, our private forum.
Oh, you're talking about the
gut flora being attached to Parkinson's.
They're finding a strong connection.
Crazy.
Yeah, a connection between gut flora or you know certain bacteria and the early development or onset of Parkinson's.
Which I feel like we kind of knew, right? We've been talking about this, and we've been saying
we haven't. I mean,
it's just like confirmation.
Yeah. We've been talking about it, and now that we know the lymphatic system, how it you know connects directly to the brain, and from the gut, there's kind of this direct highway now where you know the gut can communicate with the brain and vice versa. But you know, 5 years ago, if you were to say you know gut flora or you know your gut influenced your behavior, people would think you were crazy. If we said that it had a strong influence on certain autoimmune disorders, most people would think you're crazy. We're finding a lot of crazy evidence now coming out of you know recent studies. I mean, Parkinson's, depression, Alzheimer's, anxiety, you know, stuff. It's weird. It's crazy stuff. Yeah. I talked about this in a, you know, one of our recent episodes where they've done studies where they'll take people and put them under an fMRI machine, which is a MRI, but kind of real time, so you can see what's happening in the brain. And they'll give them a probiotic and they can see, you know, activity in the brain change from eating a probiotic.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty weird, kind of crazy stuff.
Introduction of that new bacteria started communicating immediately.
Huh? Well, and the thing is, we still have no, we really don't know what a good, you know, bacteria, you know, fingerprint looks like. We kind of know what some bacteria are good and some are bad. But we don't necessarily know what the right formula
like
is
the
for
combos,
people.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know why fecal transplants work so well. They do, by the way. I mean, they sound crazy, but you take, you know, they'll take poop from a healthy person and transplant it to a unhealthy person, and they'll get better a lot of the times. And these are people with incurable
diseases. That's why I don't
sign
up to be a guinea pig. You know what I mean?
You don't want someone else's.
I
don't
want to be eating poop.
Hashtag Adam eat dead's poop.
It's good for you.
Yeah. But, I mean, you think about it. That's pretty wild, right? Or while they'll take an obese person and they'll transplant. Actually, they've done this with animals. They'll take a obese mouse and a lean mouse, you know, with different metabolic rates. They'll do a fecal transplant from the lean mouse to the obese mouse, and the obese mouse will start losing weight.
Yeah,
I mean, it's fucking crazy.
No, it's
personality changes and all that.
It's extremely fascinating to me, and it's also that, man, what are these guys gonna do? What are these guys like Lane Nortons and stuff gonna do with all of their IIFYM that they've been preaching so hard for so long? What are they going to do when this comes out, man? We're so close.
Hmm.
We're so close for it to be like, because the only way they can even stand right now with their argument is that there hasn't been enough stuff come out yet. Like, we're close. We're like this close, and we're connected. The dots are getting, like, I feel like the average, like, fitness intelligent mind can see enough of the dots to connect and see the picture, right? I can see that it's not finished yet, but I'm smart enough to look at it and go, like, I can see this picture. I can see where this is going, right? Where, and I know they have to know, but they continue to just, you know, ignore these signs.
Well, for me, it's just further verification that we don't know nearly as much as we think we do. You know, like I said, 5-10 years ago, people would have laughed at you for saying some of that stuff, and now we've got some pretty you know, crazy science coming out, and some of it's rather conclusive, showing that there's a very, very strong connection between your internal microbiome and all these other things that we thought would not be influenced by stuff like that. So, you know, when we make recommendations on nutrition and we say things like, you know, these artificial sweeteners and these colors and these processed food, no, it's just about the calories and the proteins and the fats and carbohydrates, and those things don't matter. They're inert. They're not going to bother you. They won't hurt you. Look at all these studies that we have showing that aspartame and sucralose are totally fine, totally healthy. Well, they weren't testing for this kind of stuff before. You know, we didn't know to test for it before. So it just, like I said, it just kind of confirms, like, we don't know as much as we think we do. And going back to eating foods that we kind of evolved always eating tends to be your best bet. Not because we know everything about it, but because, well, we evolved eating it all.
Yeah.
You know, so we're probably going to do better with that than stuff that we didn't evolve necessarily, you know, eating. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, kind of crazy stuff.
Yeah, I didn't want to completely sidetrack you from the direction you were going. I just felt like that was where was the article? CSNBC.
It's breaking news.
It's been posted everywhere because it's a new. It has.
I only saw it on the CNBC.
No, it's a relatively new article or scientific study that got released. So, I don't know, man, crazy stuff. But what I was gonna talk about was, I'm seeing people post, you know, movements and stuff to do before the workouts, and we, a while ago, started really diving into this trend, and I hate to call it a trend because it's not a trend.
It's not a trend. It's just emerging somehow.
Yeah, it's just emerging. This is a. I would say one of the biggest missing components in people's exercise programming is what they do before the workout.
Movement preparation.
Yeah, and it's really different than a warm up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like a warm up. When we think of warming up before your workout, what are we normally thinking? Like, what are you thinking when someone's warming up before a workout?
I'm avoiding injury.
Yeah, avoiding injury, or, you know, what are some of the things you've
just
heard?
Getting the blood flow. You know, loosening the body up,
increasing my body temperature type of stuff.
Uh-huh. Yep.
The burn.
Oh, you know, we used to even talk about warming up to the point where you spend 10. God, you remember this, boy? You just brought me back right there. So I used to tell people that the body has three basic like energy systems, right? And when you first start moving, the body's utilizing ATP, and ADP is its primary source of fuel. Mm. And then it goes through like this lactic acid phase, and then the third and final phase,
the whole Krebs cycle.
The Krebs cycle kicks in, and then now the body is starting to metabolize fat, which takes this is true. It takes the average person 6 to 16 minutes to get into that zone if you were to start and get on a treadmill and start running. So warming up would now get you into this phase before you go to work out. So
that's funny.
Yeah. You don't remember ever using stuff?
I do remember that.
A perfect example of taking some good science and then like,
and just taking it to sell some bullshit. Yeah, make something up. Yeah, no, yeah. That's the whole purpose of exercise is to elicit some type of an adaptation response, not just to burn calories. But when it comes to your warm up, people think of it as I got to do this warm up so I don't hurt when I'm doing my squats, or I got to do this warm up so I don't injure myself. They don't understand that the warm-up in reality, and I hate calling it a warm-up because now we've associated that word with, you know, just general
core
stretching. And
yeah.
The reality is what you do before your workout can contribute tremendously to the results that you get from your workout. Mm. And there's a number of different ways it can do this. One of the ways it does it is it can promote, or you can with the right kind of warm-up, or what we call, you know, now you're starting to see people use this term priming, which is what we've been saying
calling
for
it that for a reason.
Is you can set up the right recruitment patterns before your workout. That's just one of the things you can do. So let's talk about that for a second, right? Why is it important to establish a proper recruitment pattern with your priming, you know, session with your warm up or whatever before your workout? Why is that so important? What will that do for your exercise?
Yeah, that's going to determine, you know, what muscles fire in the sequence and all that that's more favorable in your workout. So if I'm doing a squat and I want my glutes to contribute, you know, I'm going to need to put the work in to prime, especially if I'm not as connected as I need to be. I need to really focus on priming my central nervous system to respond properly. In that way, it will kick in. You will feel that contributing because it's a major muscle that we need for that type of a movement.
It's amazing because we don't think of the central nervous system as being such a massive player in the kind of in contributing to the to results and to getting gains or you know building muscle or fat.
Well, it's
loss.
One of those things that we've had a hard time quantifying, right? That's the reason why I think it's not people don't speak to it as much because it's not tangible. It's hard to quantify, so we just kind of push it to the side and talk. And some people talk, oh yeah, the importance of it, but not really. Like we put so much on everything else, but in reality, man, that has to be one of the most important parts.
Well, what do stimulants do?
Yeah. A stimulant does that artificially. Right. Caffeine does amp up the central nervous
system. Let's be honest. That's the best thing it does, right?
That's the sole purpose of using it.
A majority of what a pre-workout does that is really beneficial is the priming of the central nervous system, is getting it fired up and amped up before you go into workout, which most people can feel that and they somewhat get it. They don't really maybe understand exactly what's happening.
That's the performance benefits, at least. If you take a pre-workout and you notice you work out harder or better, it's because it's got the stimulants. But, you know, there is a double side to that, right? If you do it the wrong way, if all you do is hammer yourself with stimulants, you will fatigue the central nervous system. You can cause a stress response in the body, and then you can not get favorable adaptation.
Yeah.
What people don't realize is movement does a very good job. Targeted movement, programmed properly, does a fantastic job of getting the central nervous system ready to fire the way you want it to fire. I'll give you a good example. We've talked about this on our YouTube channel, on MPTV even, before you do a bench press, for example. We know that a good position to be in when you're benching is to have your shoulder blades back and down or retracted and depressed. Well, we've recommended in the past that people do, you know, maybe a light row or band pull-aparts before they go into a bench press. And what you're doing is although you're working the opposing muscle, right? I'm working the back of my body, whereas a bench press is working the front of my body. By doing that priming before the bench press, I'm able to turn those muscles on a little bit more effectively and efficiently so that when I do get in my bench press, I'm getting better and more stable retraction. In fact, I can't tell you how many times I've had clients reduce their shoulder pain just by doing that right away.
Yeah.
And the pain is just a signal. Again, it's telling you that your form is off or whatever. But doing that before the bench press, and it's like, whoa, all of a sudden I don't feel pain in the front of my shoulder.
That's extremely common. I think I'd venture to say 80% of my clients that ever battle like any sort of shoulder pain, even the clicking sound they hear in their shoulder, all that. A lot of that is, and of course there's exception to the rule. So I know there's some idiot that's listening right now that's like, that's not me. I didn't. Well, okay. Well, there's, like I said, 80%. Most clients, the nagging pain or whatever they have in their shoulders is from them having their shoulders rounded all forward, right? So like we talk about upper cross syndrome and the protracted shoulder girdle. And then the humerus is catching on the scapula when they're trying to do a movement. And when you pull those shoulders back into that neutral position, it allows that shoulder to move freely and the humerus doesn't get caught on it anymore. So, you know, activating that and waking that up is I think that right there has done wonders for clients. You know, there's so many things that I didn't really notice until I got a little bit older. Like, and I hate saying the age thing and the older thing, and maybe a better way of saying it is after years of training. Because
it's just the wisdom you acquired.
Well, I mean, like what I mean is that it's more about
Adam the Gray.
The Gray.
No, I don't. I mean, do you remember when you started to have like achy shoulders or elbow? Like that wasn't at 22.
Yeah. I
didn't feel that at 23. I didn't feel those things. It wasn't until I realized that there was enough of a problem that it was causing pain or discomfort, or I wasn't feeling something correctly. Then I started to really start to address and start to try and figure it out. Mm-hmm. And it's unfortunate because I wish there was more information about how to prime the body properly going into a workout. I wish somebody would have put more emphasis on that to me when I was younger so I created good habits.
Well, it's always been an afterthought. I mean, in all programs, it's always been an afterthought. Is like, you know, if you're experiencing pain, here's what you can do, like to sort of make up, you know, at the end of the workout, here's what you're going to do. Or, you know, you should warm up or you should just do some light jogging or something. And, like that still pervades the industry. A lot of people, you know, a lot of, quality trainers and quality coaches out there, they're still sort of, you know, just run a couple laps and then they get into like
I'll be the first to admit that for probably 10 of the 15 years of being a trainer, my clients all did a very generic warm up.
Yeah.
You know, they all had, you know, I had
get
this
on
little,
the treadmill.
Yeah. I had this elliptical. Little 5 to 10 minute, you know, you walk like them up, foam rolling, yeah. You know, do your basic stretches and it's like, and then you're ready for me.
You know, that's the thing though. I think the reason why there hasn't been emphasis placed upon what you do before your workout is because
lack of education.
Well, it's just
and the supplementation.
No, the motivation behind it was all preventing injury or don't hurt. Well, if you're working out and you don't hurt anyway and you feel great, then there's no motivation to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the reality. The very least that your warm-up should do is help you prevent injury. That's the least. If you do that, then you're scratching the bottom. I mean, you're not reaching its full potential. What it could do and what it should do is it should make your workout much more effective. And that's what people don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
What you do before your workout, literally, you could take your workout and change nothing about it, but prime it properly and get 10% better results.
Yeah.
Just from what you do before your workout for 10 minutes. And it's nothing crazy. If you program it properly and apply it to your workout, next thing you know, the same workout, the same everything, you're getting stronger faster, you're building muscle faster, you're burning fat faster, and your performance is improving at a better rate because of the way you set yourself up. And part of that is getting the central nervous system ready to do what it's supposed to do. And people don't realize it's not just about turning the central nervous system on.
Mm-hmm.
If your central nervous system is super amped, like super, super amped, believe it or not, it will reduce your range of motion and your mobility. Let me give you an example. If you're in a super hyper stressed, scared state where you're just like, you can barely sit still, try and get in a fucking very low, you know, stretch or long range of motion move. You can't. You're too tense, too amped.
Bracing everything.
The central nervous system has to be primed properly. It's not just about getting super crazy. Yeah. And I recognized this in myself the other day. The other day, you know, I have mobility issues, especially in my squat. And I've been incorporating things like meditation in my regular, you know, daily practice now. And I got the best mobility I've had in my life the other day. And I was tripping myself out. I was like, wow, what's going on? And my girlfriend said, "Well, you meditated. You just got your central nervous system kind of chill out a little bit." And she was totally right, because I realized that if I'm super tense, it's hard for me to get into certain positions. And that's really what static stretching does, right? Not that we're recommending static stretching before you work out, but static stretching is a way of telling the central nervous system to chill out, and that's why you get that increased range of motion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you do a static stretch. I mean, I could take a client who, you know, can maybe get, you know, down to a parallel squat, and within a 10-minute stretching session, 10 to 15 minutes, I can probably increase the depth by an inch or two that day. You know, I haven't made their muscles longer. I've just kind of told their central nervous system to do what I wanted it to do.
This is something that we've learned a lot more about this in the last 5 to 10 years as far as where sciences came on this, because we used to, I think the way you explained it, and I feel like even as a trainer, you kind of explain this like elongating or stretching of the muscle. And so you have this visual in your head as a client, yeah, that, you know, oh, you know, it's my muscles,
it's
all
like
short.
This rubber band that goes around.
Yeah. And then they're making it longer and stretching it out when it really has nothing to do with that. Or the length of your muscle is the same as it was before and after,
yeah,
you stretched out. It really has almost, you know, everything really to do with the central nervous system and allowing you to relax, which to me just kind of really should open people's eyes that, you know, if you're trying to sit down like the way a toddler sits, where a toddler sits down in a deep squat and can sit there and play with toys, and that's an extremely uncomfortable position for you, or you can't even get down in that position, you've got the same ability as far as muscles and the skeletal system as you had before, unless you've had some crazy accident and you're missing something.
Yeah.
You have it. It's just your body has shut that off, and your tissue has become so tight.
Yeah.
It's not allowing you to do that, and your central nervous system is basically tensing you up and not allowing you to go deeper further.
I've seen Dr. Brink actually do that with one of my clients, where, you know, she was having a very hard time, you know, getting depth in her squat, and because of knee injuries and all these types of things. And you just held her hands and, okay, keep going, drop down, all the way down into that deep, deep squat.
Toddler squat.
Yeah. All, and it was just tripping out. Like, I can do this, and I didn't snap anything.
Yeah.
No, You're just not connected to this process anymore.
And that's just it. Like what you do before your workout, I think there's no rhyme or reason to what people do before they work out. I think they just put things together and they expect. And that's to the people who actually do something before the workout. Most people don't do anything at all.
Well, the other thing I think I see people do is they address like muscles that are sore from previous workouts, and that's their mm-hmm. warm up. So mm-hmm. like, you know, I hammered my chest and shoulders yesterday. Even though I'm training legs today, I'm stretching my chest and shoulders because they're super tight from yesterday. So that's their thinking, right? It's always this corrective type mentality versus priming the body and getting it ready for its workout.
There's definitely
a different mentality.
You prime it right. Here's what you're going to get. You'll get a greater range of motion with stability right then and there for your workout. So that means that you can go deeper in your squat, you can go deeper in your flies, you can get, you know, better range of motion, your bench press, your overhead press, which we know 100% better ranges of motion with stability are going to contribute to better strength patterns, which contribute to better muscle gains. It's also going to turn to promote favorable recruitment patterns so that when I am pressing overhead, my shoulder is moving in the way that I want it to, and I'm strengthening. Yeah.
And here's proper strength stability.
Yeah, and I'm strengthening the pattern that I want mm-hmm. because it's not always, you got to understand this, it's getting stronger isn't necessarily always better. If I'm getting stronger in a recruitment pattern that's not favorable, all mm-hmm. I'm doing is setting myself up for failure later on and setting myself up for pain later on, or I'm limiting a range of motion. You know, range of motion where I can get, you know, further range of motion. So I'm limiting the type of results I can get from this particular exercise. I'm also, with the right kind of priming sequence, setting up my central nervous system to be able to fire fully and effectively, but when I want it to, mm-hmm. not to be in this constant state of, you know, tension, but also not to be where, you know, if I go grab a dumbbell and want to lift it. You ever do that where you go to the gym and you just feel kind of loose
mm-hmm.
and you grab a dumbbell and it's like, where's my strength? I just don't feel. And it takes you a second to kind of get into it, and you got to kind of psych yourself up. Yeah, you want to be able to have your CNS be responsive, so that when you go do your exercise, boom, it's turned on. You do your exercise, and it's very, very effective.
Well,
you will recruit more muscle fibers doing this, by the way, which is a good thing. You want to be able to recruit more muscle fibers.
When I think of priming my body before I go into a workout, there's two things that I'm really thinking about. And one of them is I'm either priming my body for this movement that I'm doing, I'm priming it to be more responsive, more explosive, to get more out of that movement. And then I have a priming where I'm trying to get myself to move properly through that movement. So I'll give you an example, like, you know, an example of how I would prime my squats. Like today's a squat day, and I'm going to prime it from more of a corrective standpoint, meaning that I want to make sure that I'm hinging at my hips properly and I'm not driving off my quads too much, right? So I'm getting my hip flexors out of it as much and getting more glute activation. So a good primer before I head into my squat for those reasons, I might be to introduce like some floor bridges. And while I'm doing my floor bridges, I'm really paying attention to making sure my pelvis is neutral. We just did this on the YouTube channel not too long ago too. So it's on the YouTube channel at Mind Pump TV on YouTube, where I tilt my pelvis, get in the neutral position, I do my floor bridge. I'm working on that hip hingement, so I'm really connected to my glutes firing in the squat. Then I have another way that I would prime if I want to prime that explosiveness, that responsiveness right away, where maybe I'll do like a jump box mm-hmm. Before I go in, which is
some plyo.
Yeah, and this is how we would utilize plyo. I'm not doing it to fatigue. I'm not doing 10, 15 reps. I'm going to do like two.
You just know you have to be explosive that
day. Yeah, I'm going to do two or three. Right, I'm going to do two or three of these jump
boxes. Just hard, fast jumps.
Explosive.
Which is what I used to do before an event or a game or something like that. You just get those really quick. Something that's not going to completely fatigue you, but it's going to give you those type of, you know, that fast action response.
It's going to turn you on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And both of them are you're turning on for, you know, two different reasons, right?
They call that what? Post-activation potentiation.
Yes. Yes. So you're PAP, right? So you're doing that. I'm doing that to get the explosiveness out of my squat. Then the other one is more, you could say, more protective or recruiting the right muscles to fire through that movement. So there is different ways to prime, and there's different priorities, and everybody's priorities are different. If I think the explosiveness and responsiveness, if you're training in like a MAPS Red phase one, or you're an athlete and you want, and you're really focused on explosiveness, and getting the most, or maxing out that day, or going after a PR, whatever, that day, that's very important to me. Now, maybe on a regular day with a client where I'm just trying to repattern them and get them to hold their posture correctly or utilize their glutes in the squat, the floor bridge thing becomes more of a priority, and that's really a focus. And, you know, another example, I think, and I'm trying to use common ones that we use a lot as trainers, mm-hmm. so hopefully this helps out some people. Another one would be like the seated row to get you into that retracted position. So Sal brought up like chest. Like if I was going to do my chest press, it's chest, you know, you're getting ready to go into your barbell press. Before I do that, especially with most clients, I'm going to go do some sort of either seated row or a band pull aparts or a row with the bands to just get the back firing. So it will actually wake up, hold my posture into that neutral spine alignment, or retract the shoulders in this case, before I do a chest press. So that one is a big one for me. It makes a huge mm-hmm. difference when I wake up my back, because otherwise when I start pressing, you know, and as soon as I get over 200 pounds on a chest press, which is a good amount of weight for me, and I start pressing that, the body, I mean, now I become so focused on getting the weight up that my mechanics want to break down. And the first thing to break down in a barbell press is the rolling of the shoulders forward, because my body wants to use that momentum and all everything I can to get that weight up. And it naturally will want to retract and press forward. And if I don't do a diligent job of waking those back muscles up, you know, to hold myself in that retracted position, then it'll fold really easily, and it'll go. So,
well, you want to keep in mind that these big gross motor movement exercises are very, very effective. But if you're not setting them up properly, you're not getting the max benefit from them.
Right.
I mean, if a squat is worth 100 points, you may be only getting 70 points out of that squat because you're not prepping properly for it. You're not setting up the recruitment pattern that you want. You're not getting the central nervous system turned on the way you want. And you're only solidifying poor recruitment patterns, or you're not getting the range of motion that your body's actually capable of going through. And so you're, like I said, not setting up your workout properly.
There's a proper sequence for all this stuff.
There is, and there's, you know, program it. You know, that's the thing. Like, we spend so much time on programming your workout and figuring out what to do with your workout.
Yeah.
And nobody spends any time. In reality, it's the real pre-workout.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the real pre-workout. Well, that's not the powder you threw in your water bottle.
Well, I would argue that you would get more from learning how to start and finish your workout than you ever could from any pill or supplement on the market.
By far.
100%.
By far. Not even in the same universe.
Yeah. Especially anything over the counter. I mean, you could argue that anabolics could rival that, right?
I don't know. I take an Anadrol before every workout.
Yeah. You could.
Hey, Ephedra, let's do this.
You could argue that anabolics would rival this, but anything, any pill, powder, supplement over the counter that is like splitting hair difference in your workout, learning to set the body up properly going into your workout, and also how you finish it.
I'm so glad you said that, because how you finish the workout is also very, very important. You don't want to just stop your workout and leave. You want to spend a good 5 to 10 minutes now solidifying what you just said.
You want to fortify those connections that you have made, that you're trying to make when you first started. You know, you amp it up, you start it, you prime it correctly, you go through the workout, you have a phenomenal workout, and then you fortify it. So it's and it's just,
you're like increasing the amplitude of that recruitment pattern. That's the one that's the priority. And now we're putting so much more emphasis on it by also, you know, making sure to program that at the end of the workout. So that way your body has a better response going forward.
You know what? In fact, you know, I'll give you an easy example. Static stretching got a great place in a routine at the end. Mm-hmm. At the end of your workout, you've just had a great workout. You did a great, you know, you primed it properly with your warm up. You did your workout. Now you're done. static stretching now is quite beneficial. Now you can get into a static stretch, but it's not your typical static stretch.
Quite. I would argue to say this is the only place it belongs.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
probably. Except for like a correctional, like I'm trying to.
I was reading the hypertrophy coach's page like maybe a couple weeks ago, and he did a post that was pretty funny, and it said something. It said, "Are you still static? Are you still stuck in the?" The 80s and static stretching. Are you still stuck in the 90s and still foam rolling? Are you? He went through each one of these modalities of stretching or rehabbing or whatever.
But they have their benefit.
They have their place.
That's it. You got to know when to use them.
They have their place, and there is a place for them. And that's the science that supported them in the 90s and the 80s isn't now wrong. It's just that it's evolved. We've learned more about
it. Even better sequence.
Yeah, exactly. And we've learned that there is a better place for it at different times, and there's other things that are superior to it, like mobility and active movement, because we've and this goes back to the central nervous system, which we're talking about. We're learning so much more about that. I mean, I feel the two things that I think, if you were to ask me, that excite me the most about learning right now in fitness, gut flora and central nervous system. Like those two, I feel like
very underrated, but should be at the forefront.
And I feel like we're watching it get there, right? I believe we're a part of that movement. I believe that we're seeing more and more good science come out to support it. And I, in turn, I think so many people are going to benefit from it. The more people that learn and understand more and more about their gut and the importance of what they're putting into their system, and then the more and more we start to learn about how to prime your system, like your central nervous system, I think people are going to be blown away by the results that they're going to start to get, and they're going to see. Like, when you learn to prime the body correctly going into a workout, you will instantly notice the difference the first workout.
It's a major game changer. I can't stress this enough. Yeah. It is a huge game changer. It is one of those things we're starting to see now. We've been talking about it for a little while, and we've been using the term prime, you know, priming the body, because warm up is just it's connected to
it doesn't really define it well.
No, but you're starting to see more people talk about it. It's going to be the next thing. You're going to see much, you know, more and more people talk about, you know, how to do that properly, because people are discovering that it is literally a game changer. You know, I talked about static stretching, and I wanted to get into that a little bit because I want to be very clear. Static stretching done properly post workout can be incredible at improving range of motion and connectivity, and also at solidifying recruitment patterns that you may have, you know, the signals that you may have sent during your workout. But there is a specific way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The static stretching, I think we've been taught in the past, was to get into a long stretch and to relax into it.
And to be passive.
To be very, very passive. The key is, when you get into your deep static stretch that you hold, is to get into the stretch, relax at first, but then tense up.
Yeah.
You know, give yourself
ramping it up.
Yeah, give yourself a little bit of resistance within that. Like, for example, if I'm doing if I'm sitting on the floor and just touching my toes, right, stretching my hamstrings, At first I'm going to try and relax in that position, but then I'm going to grab onto my legs with my hands, create an anchor, and now I'm going to push down with my hamstrings while I'm stretching them. And the reason why I'm doing that is I want my central nervous system to be okay with activating in that new range of motion, because that's going to give me strength in my new range of motion.
There's a difference between passive and active too. I think it's important to explain that, what you just did. So, yeah. We want to be able to move the body through these newfound range of motion intrinsically and without using an outside force. So there is a place for passive stretching where you utilize a tool or leverage on something to push you through a stretch. But the ultimate goal is to be able to take the body and move it through that. So, and this is like what we would call like fortification. Like after a workout, you've primed the body, you've worked out everything you want to. Now I want to take my body through this with my own body or my own body weight. I'm not trying to use a tool to force myself in there too. So I think there's that piece that we forget.
Well, I think static stretching kind of, if when people think about it, it sort of reinforces that old mindset that your muscle is elongating.
Yeah,
and
yeah, that's a good point,
because you have two anchor points, and then your whole goal with that really is to like sort of place your body in the ideal positioning. So that way, you know, your muscle can sort of relax and set off of those two anchor points. Whereas what we're saying is, you know, that whole process of getting it down into that position, you know, you need to be responsive in that. You need to be active and you know, be teaching your central nervous system that at each one of these like increments is something that you need strength and support in. And
yeah, if you just sit in a stretch and just relax, you will get a deeper range of motion, but you're not going to get any connectivity to that new range of motion, which is not a good thing. You don't want that. In fact, that's quite dangerous. You want to remain connected to that. And that's why at the end of your workout, when you're doing these static stretches and you're stretching these muscles that you just worked, get into that deep stretch, relax for a second so you can get into it. But then when you're in that stretch, you're sitting there for a second, start to activate that muscle a little bit, create a little bit of tension. Don't mm-hmm. drive into it because you'll tear your muscle.
Right.
But push into it and create some tension because CNS to fire.
You won't tear anything if you're doing it intrinsically. Where people get in trouble is, and that's why I wanted
to. They have like weight attached to it?
Yes. Or they use a towel or they use the stretch strap or they use these tools to pull and leverage and intensify the stretch. You want to intensify the stretch, but you want to do this intrinsically.
Because you can always back off.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. You can control that.
Yeah, and you want to teach your body to take you through that stretch. You don't want to have to. Now, and this is going back to, there is a place for using tools and doing things like that. I'm not saying that, you know, a stretching strap or using a towel to stretch at another time isn't useful, or you can't utilize that tool. But ultimately, I want to be able to take my body through that full range of motion or take my body into a deeper stretch intrinsically. I don't want to have to use an outside force to get me there. And if you're actually doing it on you won't hurt yourself. At least in my experience, I've never had a client stretching themselves and doing the stretch with intrinsically, meaning that like if like Sal is saying you're sitting on the ground and you're doing like a hamstring stretch and you're reaching for your toes. If you take momentum out of it, so you're not bouncing in.
That would be the only case.
Yeah, yeah. Right. If you're not bouncing into it, you take it to the stretch, and then you internally trying to go deeper into the stretch without using leverage. You're not using momentum. You're not using leverage. You're not pulling on it
from your core to push propel you forward.
You're internally trying to take yourself deeper into the stretch. Is actually very safe. I've never once had a client hurt themselves doing that.
Oh, I mean, to take it a step further, though, you're also trying to even activate the hamstrings a little bit mm-hmm. when you're in that position. That's what I'm talking about. You have to. Yeah.
That's what, and when it's in that seated position and you go to do a stretch and then you go to go deeper, the very first place you're going to notice is the hamstrings firing, because that's what's responsible for
you've got these counterbalances trying to kind of fight each other. And that's what you want. You want to be able to move yourself in this position. You want to be able, you want your CNS to be able to fire when it's in these positions. And that's going to solidify. I mean, look, you just had a hard workout, right? You just did a great workout programming. Maybe you're following MAPS, whatever. But at the end of the workout, you want to solidify that. You want to get that signal, and you want to take that signal. You want to aim it to the perfect point so that you get the best results out of that workout. Because mm-hmm. really, look, let's look at it this way. The reason why there's a huge market for pre-workout and post-workout supplements to begin with is people realize and have identified that the workout's the most important fucking thing that you do when it comes to your results. It is. That is the signal. Without your workout, and of course your diet is important as well, but I'm talking about, you're not going to, if you don't send this signal in the first place, you can have the greatest diet in the world. You're not going to build any more muscle. You're not going to get any better performance. You're not going to get any of that stuff because your body doesn't know that it needs to. It's that workout that's so important, and pre and post-workout supplements are popular because people identify that and they say, how can I make my workout more effective? I know I'm going to take this supplement before and the supplement during, the supplement after. Now, the reality is those supplements do very little to nothing to improve the effectiveness of your workout. The reality is the movements that you do before mm-hmm. your workout, the workout itself, and then with the movements and stuff you do after your workout, that's what maximizes everything. And you can take your regular workout, prime it properly and fortify it properly at the end, and you're whatever results you were getting out of your workout, you can go ahead and add another 10-15% results just from doing that. That's literally how important
it is. It's so crazy because the emphasis like has always been on meal timing and then getting that recovery post workout shake and you know, like the pre-workout to stimulate you in the beginning. Like it's, that has been just pervaded the industry forever. And it's so interesting to really shift gears and look at that and see how much more effective just the movement of it and the quality, like those two things you can easily control, or, and you're not spending money, you know, like buying all this artificial stuff to flood your body with.
Oh, I would love to take the bodybuilder guy who is so hung up on his pre, intra, post workout, eating his meal in the locker room. I would love to take that guy and say, throw all that shit away. Don't do any of that. Mm-hmm. Let me show you how to prime and fortify your workouts and tell me what you notice. Like, would be the
doesn't even matter. Well, I mean, it doesn't matter what he's doing for his workout, but you know what I mean? Like we could literally say we will benefit your workout like 20%.
Oh yeah. I mean, you're right. Even if he wasn't following maps, he had his bro split, which is totally fine. You still can totally amplify that session or increase his results by priming his body and learning how to fortify the body afterwards way more than his meal timing, his pre, his post, and his intro workout ever will, dude.
I won't even touch it.
I'll tell you what, this was a game changer, I think, for all of us when we first started Mind Pump, because when we first started working together, you know, Justin introduced, you know, both you and I, Adam, to like tension and how to utilize tension to get better ranges of motion. My warm up used to consist of foam rolling and stretching to avoid pain. Then it turned into more mobility movements. Then it turned into more structured, you know, priming. And I noticed my workouts were way more effective. My range of motion was better. I didn't have as much pain. Then I brought the foam roller back and I started using it at the end of my workouts, which before used to be at the beginning of my workouts, and I got way better results at the end. Now understanding how the body works on a deeper level, I can see why that makes plenty of sense. Like the foam roller definitely, again, has its place, but use it at the end of your workout to help solidify what you've just sent, increase pliability in those muscle groups that you may have just worked intensely, and watch what happens. Then you'll see some of the benefits of the foam rolling that you didn't know even existed. Mm-hmm. It's pretty incredible. I find myself, you know, days after my workouts where normally I'd feel sore and stiff after a heavy deadlift session, where I can tell I worked out, but I feel like I've facilitated recovery in a whole new level.
It's just great to see how, like, you know, you can still refine the process even more. And, you know, it literally is like a sequencing thing where I'm trying it here at this time. I'm trying it here at this time, like this concept. Where does this go best? And, you know, I feel like it's great because the more we seek out this type of knowledge and dig deeper, you know, it starts to become more clear. Like this is actually, you know, more beneficial here.
Well, tension was a game changer for me. When you showed me how to use isometric tension before a lift, like for example, when I did the Dumphy squat, right, with the stick up in the corner of the wall, and I'm just staying super tense and driving myself down into a squat and coming out of a squat and really, really slow, I couldn't believe how strong I was going into my barbell squat, how quickly I was there. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, it took me set after set after set after warm up, and it still didn't feel right. I would be able to jump right in. It was like, boom, man. I was just turned on. Everything's moving right. Like, it blew me away. Of course, knowing what I know now, it makes perfect sense.
Right.
I was just getting the CNS, you know, to fire the way it wants. What's severely lacking, of course, is, you know, programming this in this realm. How do you figure this out? How do you know what to do before and what to do after?
It can be a little complex. And I think that, I think during your journey, you're going to piece things together. I think this is something that I continue to improve upon. And
let's be honest. This is our big area. Yeah,
we're breaking new ground with this.
This is an area where we have focused a lot of our energy, and we're not giving specifics yet.
Well, especially when you got like Justin's invention that's around the corner too, which is gets right into central nervous system. This is definitely. If you want to talk about the things that were really heavily in, that's why I said that these two things right now between, your gut and central nervous system, where we're probably the three of us are probably reading the most is right here. Like as far as what's coming out, what are the studies saying? What direction are we going with this? Like, most of our energy is heavily focused in those two areas. Wouldn't you say that? Wouldn't you say, at least personally myself, that's where most of my reading is right mm-hmm. now?
Yeah, I mean, they're both very, very fascinating areas of research, but the one where I'd say our expertise can be applied the most, obviously, is in the workout aspect of it, right? Gut flora and stuff like that. I want to have more people on our show who, you know, are experts in that field, mm-hmm. more, you know, who did we have on that was Dr. Terry Walls talked a little bit about it. I'd like to have more people like that really break it down for us and explain those things.
I know we were in communication with Rhonda Patrick. Yeah. I know Brianna was.
She would be great.
Was talking to her. I don't know if I thought we had her lined up. I can't remember.
I'm not
happened.
Sure.
Who, I know she's really, really busy.
Who's the guy that wrote Brain Maker or Wheat Belly?
You know, you're on. Mm-hmm. You remind me. Justin, remind me, because I know Euron was actually meeting today with
Perlmutter,
one of the top researchers.
One of the top researchers on microbiome. Mm-hmm. So
I think it was Dr. Perlmutter,
and he already told me that he could get him on the show.
Really?
So, yeah, okay. Yeah. So we'll make that happen. You know, the hardest thing with a lot of these guys and girls, it's neat now that the show is gotten to this level. It's not hard convincing guests to come on and talk about whatever it is they're doing.
That'll be a good time.
It's more about the timing, you know, getting mm-hmm. the schedules down because yeah. mm-hmm. we're pretty crazy.
But so when it comes to the exercise stuff, you can count on Mind Pump. We'll figure that out.
We got you on the CNS sure. part, but we'll definitely continue to reach out for experts on the microbiome because both those are exciting.
Very exciting.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to Mind Pump. If you like the show, leave us a 5-star rating review on iTunes. If we like your review, we'll give you a free Mind Pump t-shirt. Also, check us out on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal, Adam at Mind Pump Adam, and Justin at Mind Pump Justin.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.